بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering it down some questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah who is Ar-Rahman.
Allah
who is Al-Mannan.
La ilaha illa.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I'm Ata, the host of this program. Sheikh Karimi is our guest speaker for today's discussion. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to your show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Okay, Sheikh Karimi, today's question is, in order to be a good human being, is it enough to do good actions? I mean, for example, benevolent action, humanitarian actions for the benefits of the public. And let's forget, for example, the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is at last humane status, your moral status, and your ethics, which is the distinguishing line between you and the others. So which one is more important? Akhlaq, humane characters, or for example, religious obligations. So without religious obligations, can be a person a good person to, or not?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's very important if you're answering this question from an Islamic perspective or not. So if you're answering from an Islamic perspective, we know that according to the religion of Islam, belief, faith, or iman has three pillars. To say that through your tongue, to believe in that in your heart, and to act through your, to show that through your actions. So if you're a Muslim, it means that you believe in Quran, you believe in the narration of the Prophet, and as a Shia, you believe in the narration of the Imam of the Ahlul Bayt. So you cannot say that I am a good Muslim by just doing some acts of charity, for example, without, saying my prayers, without fasting. No, you cannot be a good Muslim. Because as a Muslim, you need to act upon the obligations mentioned in the Notebook of Quran. So this is, I believe, one of the satanic traps for some people. Now, in the Noble Book of Quran also, we have the concept of qalb salim, a pure heart. Because some people claim that we just have a pure heart and we are not in need of doing the obligations. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that to have a pure heart, qalb salim, you need to act upon your obligations and be away from the prohibited actions. وَالْبَلَدُ الطَّيِّبُ يَخْرُجُ نَبَاتُهُ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهُ وَالَّذِي خَبُثَ لَا يَخْرُجُ إِلَّا نَكِدًا. The good land, its vegetation comes out by the permission of its Lord. And as for that which is bad, it does not come out except sparsely. So somehow the heart of the believers is like the good land. So without the actions, we cannot claim that we have a good heart. So the relation between a pure heart and the action is like the relation between the roots of a tree and the fruit. And then many verses of the Quran put together iman and amal salih. Alladhina amanu wa amal salihat. You find these two phrases repeated in many verses of the Quran, which means that we need to pay attention both to the faith and the obligations and being away from the prohibited actions. So the question is that if having just pure heart, as these people claim, and to do act of charity, then why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and the Prophet and the Imam of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, they have put much emphasis on prayer, fasting, doing hajj, doing enjoining good and forbidding the evil, and to be away from backbiting, slandering, illegitimate looks, and so on and so forth. So the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and the Imam of the Ahlul Bayt have asked the Muslims to act upon all these obligations. The second point is that the obligations are not limited to fasting and prayer. Islam is not a religion of only these, two acts of worship, because some people claim that we neglect prayer and fasting and all the other obligations. No, Islam says that do not oppress anyone. And this is one of the most important humanitarian principles in every religion and in every school of thought. The next point is that, and this is a very important point, is it possible at all to be a moral person without acting upon the religious principles, like Islamic principles? Some people claim that we are moral person and we do not believe in any religion. But the question is that, with what criteria, with what standards you are going to be a moral person? Because even, a very extremist person like a Daeshi and a person who belongs to ISIS group can claim that I am a moral person because whatever I do based on, a pure heart. So the point is that there should be some standards, some criteria for making a life a moral life. And the point is that there are disagreements, there are differences of ideas when it comes to some actions, whether they are true, whether they are moral or not. So my point is that even if you want to lead a good life, a moral life, you need to refer to the religious principles, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to decide which actions are moral and which actions are immoral.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
The next point that I would like to share is the fact that even in early Islam, we had some people who said the same thing. So we shouldn't think that this is some notion which has been brought forth by some people in our time to claim that just to lead a moral life is enough and we are not in need of doing the obligations. No, in early Islam, we had a group of people. They are called Murja. They say that it is suffices, it is enough for you just to believe in God and the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family. Then you are allowed to commit any sin that you like. Committing any sin doesn't have any harm regarding your faith, your iman. And these people are called Murja, and unfortunately some Umayyad caliphs, they supported this group. And the Imam of the Ahlul Bayt were very careful about this group. They gave some warnings toward the Shia that be careful about your children, especially the youth, the adolescent, regarding this group of Murja. Because the group of Murja, the culture of Murja, is preaching a life without religion, a life without even morality. You are allowed to do any action and they are not harmful toward your faith. So according to the Imam of the Ahlul Bayt, according to the Noble Book of Quran, faith should be together with righteous actions. And as I mentioned, al-iman tasdiqun bil janan wa iqrarun bil lisan wa amalun bil arkan. Okay, first faith begins with your tongue and of course with your heart and your tongue. But finally, it should be amalun bil arkan. You need to show your faith through your actions. This is in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 66, page 74. The other point is that according to chapter An-Nisa 150, you cannot claim that I am a Muslim, but I believe in some of the Islamic beliefs and doctrines, and I disbelieve in other parts. Allah says,
to be selective, for example.
Exactly.
That's right.
Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَيُرِدُونَ يُفَارِقُ بَيْنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَيَقُولُونَ نُؤْمِنُ بِبَعْدٍ وَنَكْفُرُ بِبَعْدٍ. Some people say that we believe in some parts of Islam, in some of the Islamic beliefs, in some of the Islamic obligations, but we disbelieve in others. For example, we accept the fact that we shouldn't lie, we shouldn't slander, but when it comes to hijab, for example, when it comes to fasting, when it comes to prayer, we disbelieve. We do not believe in these obligations. No, according to the Noble Book of Quran, you cannot be selective when it comes to Islamic obligations. So, yeah, you can claim that I'm not a Muslim. But if you claim that you are a Muslim, it means that you are a person who believes in the Noble Book of Quran. You cannot be a Muslim without belief in the Noble Book of Quran. And the Quran says that you cannot be selective regarding Islamic beliefs and Islamic obligations. You need to pay attention to all of them.
For example, regarding hijab, this is a very controversial issue, or living of the Muslims in the Western world. Some people might say, okay, you are Muslim, but you are living in a non-Muslim land. So let's be selective about the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So these are two separate issues. But let me also, refer to a very significant point. It doesn't mean that if a person, for example, doesn't act upon one of the Islamic obligations, we have the right to discommunicate him or her, to say that you are not Muslim. No, we never believe in the concept of takfir, without any reason to discommunicate people, to claim that you are not a Muslim because, for example, you are not fasting. No, it's not our right to do that. Second of all, also it is very important regarding hijab. Unfortunately, some people who are religious, as soon as they see a Muslim without hijab, they give them bad titles and bad names and even call them as people who are not Muslims. No, they are Muslims, but they are committing a sin. And of course, this is a serious sin, and there is no doubt about that. So this is a very important point, not to call people not non-Muslims as soon as they are careless about one of the Islamic obligations.
Yes.
But again, hijab is also one of the Islamic obligations. This is mentioned in the Noble Book of Quran, at least in three verses. And in the narrations, again, one person cannot say that this is not a part of Islam. Yes, he may say that I do not act upon this Islamic obligation. This can be at least logical. In that, he believes that or she believes that this is an Islamic obligation, but for any reason, she is not going to act upon it. And this is a sin, and she would be punished for that.
Yes.
But to claim that this is not a part of Islam, this is like those people who, as I mentioned, believe in some part and disbelieve in another part.
And some Muslims are living in the Western world, so say, okay, I am a Muslim, but since I'm living in a non-Muslim land, I have to abide by the rulings of this country. So yeah. Let's be selective. For example, be a Muslim in my house, inside the house, and for example, act like the non-Muslims outside the house.
So
is that possible?
Very different scenarios. If you're talking about the civil laws, for mm-hmm. sure we need to act upon all the civil laws, as long as they are not against the Islamic laws. And only in some cases, based on the permission of your mujtahid, the marja taqlid that you follow, you may ignore some of the Islamic laws if they permit you, if you are in a very serious situation under the concept of taqiyya, for example, your life is in danger or the life of your dear ones. In such situations, yes, you may ignore some of the Islamic obligations, but they are very limited cases based on the permission of the Islamic scholars.
Okay. Thank you much, Sheikh Karim. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن